We begin the current daf Maseches Brachos, daf Chaf Aleph. We begin 8 lines from the top. The Gemara continues on the theme from the previous daf, which spoke about specifically regarding Nashim. However, we're speaking about Birchas HaMazon, about making the blessing after we eat a Suda, and that the Mokar was from a Deraisa. And now the Gemara is going to elaborate on the Chiv of making Birchas HaMazon. Amar Rav Yehuda, Minayin LeBirchas HaMazon LaAchrei HaMenatar, how do we know that making a bracha on the food after we eat it, which is commonly called as birchas hamazon, benching, how do we know that that's a chiyuv mendaraisa? Shenem, as it says in the pasuk, v'yachalta v'zavata v'rachta, that you will eat, you'll be sated, you'll be happy, you'll satisfied, and then v'rachta, you make a bracha. So you see, after you eat, there's a chiyuv daraisa to make a bracha, which is commonly called birchas hamazon. He continues, minayla birchas atorah lefenem atorah. How do we know that there's a chiyuv to make a bracha on learning Torah beforehand? Shenema kishem Hashem ekra, that when I call out the name of Hashem, havo goydel elikenu, that you should ascribe greatness to our God. And that is when Moshe Rabbeinu came to open up in the words of Shira for the Torah, so he said to Klai Yisrael, I am going to make a bracha first, and you'll answer after me, amen. That is kishem Hashem ekra, in other words, when I open up in the name of Hashem with a bracha, so then you will havo goydel elikenu with an amen. And that's how the Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin explains it, how we see from this pasuk a source of making a bracha on the Torah before one learns it. So now the Gemara continues. Omer Rabbi Yechanan, lomanu birchas atorah la'achra min birchas hamazon mikal v'chomer. So now Rabbi Yechanan follows through on this and he says, and now we can learn that there would be a chiyuv to make a bracha on Torah after one learns from birchas hamazon, which is a bracha that you make after food from a kal v'chomer. That is, and similarly the Gemara says, birchas hamazon lefanel min birchas atorah mikal v'chomer, and the same thing would go in the other way. That there would be a chiv to make a bracha on food before one eats, from a kal v'chomer, from making a bracha on Torah before one learns. As the Gemara explains, birchas atorah la'achreah, min birchas hamazon kal v'chomer, that there's a kal v'chomer, that you would have to make a bracha on learning Torah after you learn, just like you make a bracha after you eat. And that is, umam mazon she'en ton lefanav, ton la'achrev, if we find by food, which does not require a bracha before one eats, min ha'Torah, but it would require a bracha after one eats. And that is, we don't find a specific pasuk that tells you that you have to make a bracha before you eat. But we have a pasuk that says, v'chalta v'sabata v'rachta, that you have to make a bracha after you eat. So Torah shatun l'fanel, in a din shatun l'achreya, so Torah that requires a bracha before one learns, as we just brought down before the pasuk of kishim Hashem ekra, so definitely you need a bracha to make after one learns. And similarly, the Gemara says, "Obirchas hamazon lefanel, min birchas atorah mikal v'chomer." It would similarly be a kal v'chomer that you would have to make a bracha before you eat, from the fact that you make a bracha before you learn. And that is a mat Torah she'en tun la'achreya, tun lefanel. If learning Torah doesn't require a bracha achrein, you don't make a bracha after you learn from the Torah. At least we don't find the source, and still it requires a bracha before one learns. So mazon shu'tun la'achrav in a don she'etun lefanel. So therefore, by food, which requires a bracha even after one eats, definitely it would require a bracha before one eats. So therefore, the Gemara wants to learn a kal v'chomer either way from both Birchas HaMazon and Birchas HaTorah to each other. So the Gemara says, no, ikla mifrach, we can refute the kal v'chomer in either direction, that you can learn our food from Torah and yet you can learn our Torah from food to make a bracha rishona or bracha achrona accordingly. And that is, the Gemara says, mala mazon shekein nana. How could you learn up Torah from food, that food requires a bracha achrona, so too for sure Torah requires a bracha afterwards? Maybe food has a higher level and therefore requires a different level of bracha because it's a physical pleasure that you don't have by Torah. And so too, how could you learn out making a bracha rishayna on food because you find by Torah requires a bracha on food? Torah brings to eternal life, and therefore you can't learn out from either one. Each one has a special maila, and maybe that's why Torah requires a bracha beforehand, whereas food doesn't. And maybe food requires a bracha afterwards because you actually had that physical pleasure that you had that you just took in, therefore you have to make a bracha, whereas by Torah you can't make a bracha achreina because it doesn't have that madriga of physical nana. And moreover, the Gemara says, I'll prove to you that the kal v'chomers are incorrect. Because V'o'eitchna, we learned explicitly in the Mishnah that it says, Ala mazon mevarach la'achrav, ve'en mevarach lefanav. We said regarding the Baal Keri in our Mishnah, that regarding eating food, you make a bracha achrein, but you don't make a bracha beforehand. See, obviously, that the bracha beforehand is not a deraisa, it's not on the same level as a bracha achrein. And therefore, Tiyufta, the Gemara says, it's refuted, and that is, making a bracha before one eat, and making a bracha on Torah after one learns, is not a chiv medaraisa. Although there may be a chiv to make a bracha before one eats midrabanan, maybe a svara, but either way, the Gemara says here that it's not learned out from a kal v'chomer for sure, from Torah, because A, Torah is different, and therefore you can't prove that you would make a bracha rishayna on food beforehand. And also, we learned specifically and explicit in our Mishnah that the bracha beforehand is not on the same level as making a bracha afterwards, and that's why Baal Keri only makes a bracha achrayna on the food that he eats birchas hamazon and not a bracha rishayna. Now the Gemara continues on this topic of Kriya Shema. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Safik Kara Kriya Shema, Safik Lekarav. Let's say someone is not sure if he recited Kriya Shema. So then the halacha is, Eino Chayzav Kara, he does not go back and recite the Kriya Shema. However, Safik Omer Emes V'yatziv, Safik Lo Omer Emes. However, if let's say it's by the Birchas Kriya Shema in the morning, which is right after you say the Parsha Shema, you say Emes V'yatziv, and you're not sure if you said it or not, halacha is Chayzav Omer Emes V'yatziv. Then you do go back and you recite Emes V'yatziv. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason? Why would Kriya Shema not be a chiv to recite over in case you're not sure, but by Emes V'yatziv, yes? So the Gemara answers, Kriya Shema derabbanan, Emes V'yatziv deraisa. The Gemara is going to explain why would we say that Kriya Shema is derabbanan. However, Emes V'yatziv is deraisa because we mentioned the topic of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a chiv deraisa every day, as it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Tezayin, Laman Tizker es Yimtzeischem Eretz Mitzrayim. You have to remember the day you left Mitzrayim every single day. And therefore, since Emes V'yatziv talks about our leaving Mitzrayim, that's why it's a chiv deraisa, and therefore you would have to repeat it over, because as we commonly know, Safik deraisa l'chumra, however, Krishma, which is drabbanon, one does not have to repeat it. But the Gemara asks, Master Rabbi Yosef, it says in the Pasuk, Uvishach b'chov kumecha, that you have to say the parashis of Shema when you lay down and when you get up. So therefore, we see that the morning Krishma, which is what we're talking about, has a chiv deraisa. So how can we say, if you're not sure if you said it, that you don't have to repeat it? It's a Safik deraisa, it should be l'chumra. Everybody says, no, that pasuk, v'shach b'chov kumecha, is in reference to learning Torah. That there is a chiyuv of v'higisa b'yoyim b'layla, is a chiyuv to say, and it's brought down in halacha, actually, that you're yoytzi chiyuv of Talmud Torah, at least b'di'evid, by just saying the parasha of Shema in the morning and parasha of Shema at night, and therefore, v'shach b'chov kumecha is going on Torah, not regarding reciting of the parasha of Shema. Tosfos mentions, although on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara brings the source for Kriya Shema in the evening from uv'shach b'cha. So he says that's nasmacht ba'alma, it's not a real chiyuv deraisa, because the actual pasuk, according to Abaye, is in reference to Talmud Torah and not regarding the parashah of Shema. So now the Gemara says, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Balkeri mahar beliba, we said that a Balkeri should think the parashah of Shema in his heart, and he shouldn't actually recite it. However, ve'inim avarach lo lefanev lo lachre, he doesn't even have to, even with hearer, he doesn't have to make the brachas beforehand of Kriya Shema and the brachas afterwards. The alamazin regarding food, mevarch la'achra ve'in mevarch la'fanav. You make a birch samazin, which is after you eat, but you don't make the brachas of amaitzi before one eats. So now the Gemara develops the question. If it's as you just said, that emes b'yatziv is chiv deraisa, that's why if you're not sure if you said it, you have to repeat it. Livrach la'achra, so why in our Mishnah do we say that the Balkeri only says Shema, because that's the chiv, so to speak, but the Berachas Kriya Shema, you don't have to say not before, not after, but Emes V'yatziv is one of the Berachas Kriya Shema that come after Shema, and therefore it's a chiv deraisa, so the Balkeri should have to say it, just as the other things, for example, Berachas Hamazon, that we require him to at least be Mahar, because he has a chiv deraisa. So the Gemara explains, my time in Mevarach, what is the reason why we make this bracha? Why are you saying that the Balkeri should have to say it? Because of the Chiyuv Deraisa of mentioning that the leaving of from Egypt. So the Gemara says, Ha'itkale b'Kriya Shema. But we already mentioned it in the Kriya Shema, which we're being Mechayev the Balkeri to think about anyway. And therefore, we don't require him to say the Berachas Kriya Shema, which includes the Emes V'yatziv. But then the Gemara asks, why don't we just say Emes V'yatziv and not require Kriya Shema? Because Emes V'yatziv is the Chiyuv Deraisa that we require him to say over. But Kriya Shema, why should we require him to say it in the first place? So Gemara answers, Kriya Shema adifa disbeitarti. The Kriya Shema is better for the Balkeri to be Maharan than to be Mechayiv him on that versus Emes V'yatziv, because it has both elements. A, it talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a Chiyuv Deraisa. And also, it refers to Malchus Shemayim, which is one of the most fundamentals in Klal Yisrael, accepting the yoke of heaven. And that's why we require him to say Kriya Shema. However, once he says Kriya Shema, he doesn't have to say Emes V'yatziv anymore. But essentially, Emes V'yatziv in its own merit is a Chiyuv Deraisa. For example, in a case where you would not have said Kriya Shema, Emes V'yatziv is the Deraisa of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, the Gemara brings a different amount of Amar that argues. And Rebbe Lezo Amar, Savak Kar Kriya Shema, Savak Le Karv, let's say you're not sure if you recited Kriya Shema. He says, no, Chayzav Kar Kriya Shema, you do have to repeat it, because he holds Kriya Shema as Deraisa, and that is either from the Pasuk of Vashach B'chov Kamecho, or because it mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, either way, he requires us to repeat Kriya Shema. However, Savik Yisbal, Savik Lo Yisbal, in the Chayzim Yisbal. However, if you're not sure if you daven Shemayin Esrei, then you don't have to repeat it, possibly because Shemayin Esrei on some level is Derabbanan. However, he doesn't require you to repeat Shemayin Esrei. However, the third man d'amar, he argues, Rabbi Yochanan d'amar, Ulevai Sheyisbal Odom Kol Yom Kulei, would that people daven the entire day. And therefore, what essentially he's saying is that a person should repeat it because you should be davening all day. It's such a great thing to daven, to have a relationship with the Rabbi Nishlam. So therefore, we have three different shitas in our Gemara. First, Manda Amar said that if you're not sure if he's repeated, if he said Krishma, you don't have to repeat it. Second, Manda Amar said, no, if you're not sure if he said Krishma, you have to repeat it. But regarding tefillah, you don't have to repeat it. And the third Manda Amar, Rabbi Yechlin said that no, if you're not sure if you repeat it, then you go ahead and you should repeat it because a person should be davening the entire day. And Rashi brings down the Psak Halacha from the Bahag, the Halachas Gedolus, that he says the Halacha is like Rabbi Yechlin, that one repeats the Shemayin essay by a suffix when you're not sure. However, the halacha is like Shmuel, which the Gemara is going to quote soon, that when a person definitely did daven, that he should not go ahead and daven another Shmoneh Esrei. So it depends. A person should not daven the entire day if you already daven, but if you're not sure, then the halacha is like a Yechanan, that then you should go ahead and say Shmoneh Esrei again. Now the Gemara continues on this idea about being Chayzev Akari, if what happens is, if you said it and now you're saying it again, or if you're not sure. So the Gemara brings, V'am Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. If let's say middle Shemayin Esrei, you remember, oh, Yivald, I davened already, what am I doing? So the halacha is, he says, you stop, even middle of a bracha, that's it, what are you doing? It's a bracha levatala, you shouldn't be davening Shemayin Esrei, it's only three times a day, not four or five, or whatever it is. So the Gemara asks, Ini, is that so? Rav Nachman says that we were in the yeshiva of Rabbi Bar-Avur. We asked the following question from him. Hanu b'nei b'irav, these Talmidim from the yeshiva, the Tohu Umadkri the Chol b'Shabbos. They made a mistake and they mentioned Chol on Shabbos. Ma'u Shigmer, what's the halacha? Should they finish? What happens is that sometimes a person gets vatracht, he doesn't realize what he's doing, he's in the middle of the Mishmael, so he suddenly finds himself in the middle of Atachayin Eladim Das. And I realize, wait a second, it's Shabbos, I shouldn't be saying this bracha. So the shayla they asked their Rebbe was, should you finish the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Chol Nadas, if you remember the middle, or should he just stop where he is? V'amalon, he said to us, Goyim Kolei Sabracha, you finished the entire bracha. And therefore we see that you shouldn't stop in the middle. If you started a bracha, you started Shemoneh Esrei, you should continue and complete it. Why are we saying that you would stop even in the middle of the bracha? So the Gemara answers, no, hochi hashta. So what? What's the comparison? Hasim gavar b'chiyubuhu. There, when someone recites at the chaynin on Tefillah of Shabbos, he's really obligated. Rabbanu d'lo'atrachu mishum kavod Shabbos. The Rabbanu did not trouble us to say the old Yudches Brachas because of Kavod Shabbos, and therefore they made an abridged version, so to speak, for us to say a smallish Shemayin Esrei on Shabbos. However, Me'ikra Din, you're required to say it, and therefore if you say it, you're Yaitza, and therefore once you started the Bracha, you complete it. Aval Hocha Hotzoli Leba, he already davened. What would be the purpose in finishing the Bracha? It's a Bracha Levatala. It's not something that you have a Chiv to recite, Bechlal, and therefore the Halacha would be, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says, to stop in middle. And it's not the same like At Techeinin, which you are essentially obligated, but that they're abundant, so to speak, curtailed it and made it more bridged, but essentially there is that Chiv. Now the Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amora. Let's say someone already davened, and then he walks into the shul, he wants to learn or whatever, and then he finds the rabbim, the tzibur, that they're davening. So the halacha is, if he could add something that he hadn't davened about beforehand, so then he should daven. In other words, he should be part of the tzibur, and he should add something to a bracha, for someone that's not well, or at the chaynin, he needs to have havan in the learning. And if he can't add anything, he should not just repeat and daven. That's what Rashi referenced beforehand from the Bahag, that you shouldn't just daven the Shemayin Esrei that you davened already before. If you could add, then there's a din. And sometimes the place can bring down, if you're not sure if you daven, that like a tchil, you should add something, because then that's meikra din, that you could daven the Shemayin Esrei even if you already daven, as long as you add. But if not, you shouldn't daven. And the Gemara says, v'tzrich, we need both halachas of Shmuel regarding what to do if someone already daven. And the Gemara explains, if we were to mention the first halacha of Shmuel, that if you remember middle Shemayin Esrei that you daven already, you stop in middle, hanamili yochid b'yochid. I would have thought that that's only when it's an individual and individual. That is, that if a person, when he originally davened, he was davening b'yechidus, by himself. And when he forgot that he davened, and then he's davening again he's by himself, and he's davening b'yechidus. In such a situation, we said that a person should stop in middle. And now we continue on to Amud Beis. Or we'd be talking about a case where he davened with the congregation, and again the second time was with the congregation, that both times it was with the tzibur, and therefore when he made the mistake it was with both of them. He said that he was in the shtibel and they forgot that he davened already, he was already davened shachris and he was sitting in the shtibel, and then he went ahead and he started davening again, he realized his mistake. So then in those situations we would say you stop in the middle. But I would think that when the first time he davened was by himself and the second time he davened was with the tzibur, I would say that the first time is as if he never davened, so to speak, in reference to the tzibur, which is such a greater level, davening b'tzibur. So therefore I would say that he could, even if he remembers the middle, he should continue because it's a greater davening. Kamash Malan, that's why we needed the second halacha to say that even if he davened already before and he's coming in and the tzibur is davening, he still should not daven, even though he davened beforehand. And the Gemara says, "V'yash min halacha." If we would have said the second halacha that a person shouldn't start, even if he's coming to tzibur that's davening, mishun dele aschaba, I would have thought that's only because he didn't start yet. Avol hasam the aschaba imale. But there, in the first halacha, Shmuel, we already started davening, and then he remembered. Then he shouldn't stop, and he should continue. Tzricha. That's why I need both halachas to tell you: A, that he shouldn't start, even if it's in the tzibur, and B, even if he started and he remembered the middle, he should stop where he remembers because there's no chiyuv to continue davening and to be a bracha l'batal. The Gemara now continues with a similar halacha regarding if one comes into the shul and he finds a tzibur shemespal and he finds that the congregation is davening. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna, hanichnas lebeis haknesses, umatzat tzibur shemespal." If someone comes into the shul and he finds that the tzibur is already davening, and therefore it's important regarding this halacha that we know that it's already that they're davening, and that is im yochel lahaschel beligmer atchlo yigia shatz lemoidim yispal. V'mlava yispal. Rav Huna says that if he could start and end the Shemayin Yaseh until the Shliach Tzibur doesn't get up to Moedim, then he should daven. But if not, he shouldn't daven. And that is, the Poskim mentioned this, that it's if a person davens along Shemayin Yaseh, if as long as he begins with the Shliach Tzibur and the whole Tzibur, then he's allowed to start, even if he's going to finish after everyone's finished davening. This halacha is specifically regarding if someone comes late to Shul and he finds they're already davening. Now he doesn't realize if he's going to be able to finish in time or not. The halacha is, Rav Huna says, that he has to know for sure that he's going to finish his davening by the time the tzibur gets up to Moedim, that he can be able to answer with them. Reb Shub ben Levi Omar, im yochel haschab ligma atchulei yigia shatz legedush yisbal v'mlam ayisbal. Reb Shub ben Levi says, no, the main criteria is that he has to be able to finish even much earlier. He has to finish that in the time for the shliach tzibur to get up to kedusha, which is right after Mechayim Mesim, after the second bracha, he has to already have been finished. And then, if he knows he has a long Shemayin Yaseh, so he's not going to be finished, he can't daven yet, he has to wait until after Kedusha, until after Moedim, until he can answer all these things, and then he could go ahead and daven, but if he cannot finish, he can't start. He has to be able to finish by the time he recites Kedusha. So if we have Machlokes, Rav Huna says, yeah, you don't only have to be finished by the time they get up to Moedim. Shmuel Levi holds much earlier, you have to be able to finish by the time they get up to Kedusha. So the Gemara says, B'mai Kamifli, what is this Machlokes? Why does one hold that you have to be finished by the time they get up to Moedim? And why does Shmuel Levi hold that it has to be the time they get up to Kedusha? So the Gemara explains, Mar Savar Yochid Eimi Kedusha, because Rav Huna holds that an individual could say Kedusha, that is a Yochid that's davening with the Tzibur, he's davening like everyone else, he could say Kaddish on his own, in his own Shmuel Esrei. So therefore, if he doesn't finish until the Shatz gets up to Kaddish, it's not a problem because he could say it on his own after he says Mechayim Mesim, he says Kaddish, 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 says the whole thing, and then he continues on to add the Kaddish. But Moedim, even though an individual says on Moedim, if he doesn't say with the Tzibur, with the congregation, whoever sees everyone bowing down and he's not bowing down, it seems like he denies, so to speak, the one, reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that his friends are bowing down to. So therefore it's essential that he finishes the Shemayin Esrei in time that he's done so that by the time they get up to Moedim, he could say Moedim with them so that it doesn't look like he's denying, so to speak, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, he holds that Moedim is the essential one to finish. But by Kedusha, it's not a problem because he could say his own Kedusha in his own private Shemayin Esrei. However, Umar Sava, but Yerushalayim Levi holds Ein Yochad Eimer Kedusha. The individual cannot say Kedusha, and therefore he would have to say it with the Tzibur. And therefore, if he doesn't say it, it seems like he's denying, so to speak, again, the holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all the other different elements in Kedusha. Therefore, he has to be finished by the time they get up to Kedusha, and if he can't start a Shemayin Esrei. So Taisa says that this is the halacha, that a person has to be finished. If he comes in late and he sees that they're davening already, he can't start unless he knows for sure he's going to be finished by the time they get up to Kedusha. However, Tosfos says that there is a halacha. If someone's late, he waits till the shatz, till the shliach tzibur starts, and he begins it with him, and he says Shemayin Esrei with him. Such an individual, when the shatz gets up to kedusha, he could say it with the shliach tzibur and the kaddish and the whole entire kedusha, and that's considered saying it with the tzibur, and that's not considered, so to speak, a kedusha of a yachid. So now the Gemara says that v'chein amar of Adbar Hava. So too, Rav Adbar Hava says that according to everybody, both according to Rav Huna and Rabbi Shmuel Levi, we see that Kedusha is only said with the Tzibur. Their only machlekes was, can you say it in your own private Shemayin Esrei when you're davening with the Tzibur? But everyone agrees that it's only said with the Tzibur and not when you're davening Beichidus alone. So the Gemara says, Minayin, where do we see this from? She'en ha'yochad emir kedusha, that the individual cannot say kedusha on his own. She'nemeh, as it says in the Pasuk, v'niktashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, I shall be sanctified among the b'nei Yisrael. That is, where do we see that kedusha will be? Kol davar shebekdusha lo yehei pachas ma'asar, that anything that's a davar shebekdusha that's related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holiness, which is, and specifically in this case, kedusha, shouldn't be with less than 10 people. So I'm going to ask my master, what do you see from this pasuk that it means that there has to be 10 people? The Tani Rabbi Noi, Achua de Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, the brother of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Noi said, Asya Toich Toich, we learn from Gzeir Shav the word Toich, which means among. That is, Ksiv Hacham, and Ktashi B'Seich B'nei Yisrael. And this pasuk regarding, so to speak, sanctifying Hashem, it says it, that among the Kalal Yisrael. Ksiv Hacham, it says over there regarding the Eda of Kairach, he bodlu mitoich Eda, so you should separate from among this evil populist, this Eda. And we learned that from the Meraglim, which it says over there, Eda also, and Malahal Nasar, Afkan Nasar, just like over there, by Karach and by the Meraglim, where we know that there was 12 Meraglim, and only two of them did not, so to speak, spy with them, which was Yeshua and Kalev, and therefore the 10 were considered the evil Eda. Just like there was 10 here, it's also 10, and therefore we see that, but Nikdashi B'Seich B'nei Yisrael means 10 people, that's dominion, that's when you could have Dvarim Shebekedusha. And therefore an individual cannot say Kedusha on his own. However, the Gemara says, the Kuli Alma Mias, Mifsig Leposik. However, what we see that according to everybody, that we would not interrupt your tefillah to say Kedusha, to answer with Tzibur and so to Famaydim. We see that from both of them, either one, that you would not stop and talk and say Kedusha, Middle Shemayin Esser, or Maydim. And that's why you have to be able to be finished so that you could say it with Tzibur because of your Middle Shemayin Esser. You can't go ahead and say Kadosh, Kadosh, or answer Maydim. And therefore, as according to, as we said before, that you would have to finish beforehand, and the contrary of whom that has to be that at least that you finish your Shemayna Esrei to get Maidim, because Kedusha holds that you could say in your own individual Shemayna Esrei. So now the Gemara asks. So we know Maidim and Kedusha you can't stop in middle Shemayna Esrei. However, what is Halacha regarding interrupting Shemayna Esrei to answer Amini Hishmei Rabba? Is that a greater thing than Kedusha, than Kadosh and Maidim, or not? So Kiyasra Avdimi Amar, he says that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, Talmidei Rabbi Yochanan Amri, that they said, the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, that L'chol ein mafsikin chutz min yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevarach. For everything, you're not allowed to interrupt the middle Shmei Nesri. You're talking straight to Hashem. You don't interrupt for something else. Besides Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba, because it's such a great thing that Shafilo Isik B'Maisim Merkava Paisik, even if you would be involved in the most mystical things of the divine chariot, you would interrupt the middle to answer Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba. That's how great it is. However, the Gemara does comment that Bless Hilchas HaKavazet, Halacha is not like him, and that even for Yehei Shmei Rabba, a person does not interrupt in Middle Shmei Nesrei. After Lekain Netzar, from that point on, then there is different Halachas, but in Middle Shmei Nesrei, one does not interrupt, not for Moedim, not for Kedusha, and not even for Yehei Shmei Rabba. So now the Gemara continues from a quote from our Mishnah that said, Yehuda Omer, Mevarach Lefnei Malachrem. Yehuda said that Abal Keri, he makes the brachas of Kriya Shema both the beforehand and afterward, not like the Tanakhama that said that the Baal Keri, who is impure, does not make the brachas Kriya Shema before and after. So the Gemara says, lememre would seem to be the Ksav Rabbi Yehuda Baal Keri muta b'divrei Torah, that obviously Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Baal Keri that had a seminal omission, he is permitted in the words of Torah, and that's why he holds that even something which is drabbanan, like the Birchas Kriya Shema, is permitted because not a problem. Whereas the Tanakhama held that only the Kriya Shema, which is the Raisa, other things that are more important, like Birchas Amazon, that he's permitted in, but everything else he's not supposed to. So, but Rabbi Huda that permits it seems to be that he holds no problem regarding a Baal Keri and Divrei Torah. However, the Gemara asks, V'amri B'shuman Levi, we have a drasha that seems to say that it's also for Baal Keri and Divrei Torah. As it says, Shenem, it says in the Pasuk, you should make them known, the words of Torah, to your sons and your sons' sons, to your grandchildren. And the Torah places it next to the Pasuk of that you should remember the day that you stood by Har Sinai, the actual giving of the Torah. And therefore, the comparison is Malahal and Balikari and Asurin, Afkan Balikari and Asurin. The comparison is just like over there by Matan Torah. That we, the Baal Keri, someone had a seminal mission with forbidden, and that's why it says Atik Shalisha, that you shouldn't come close to a woman. So to hear also regarding Divrei Torah, that's the pasuk of Adatan Levenecha, a Baal Keri is Aser. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that you make Birchas Kriya Shema, which would seem to be the words of Torah, are forbidden for Baal Keri? So the Gemara wants to say, and if you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree to that drasha of Shimon Levi, because he doesn't hold about the concept of juxtapositions, that when you have a pasuk near each other, that it means something, and that you make a certain drasha. But the Gemara says it's not true. We see a source that Rabbi Yehuda himself, darshan smuchim, that he says that there is this concept of juxtaposition that means that it has comparative halachas. Because v'amar Rabbi Yosef, afilaman deloy darish smuchim achalat Torah, b'mishnah Torah darish, that Rabbi Yosef says that even one that doesn't darshan smuchim the whole Torah, but in Mishnah Torah and Sefer Devarim, he does make a drasha. And this pasuk we find in Mishnah Torah. As the Gemara says, that Rabbi Yehuda lay darshan smuchim achalat Torah kulo. As we know, Rabbi Yehuda Taka doesn't make drushan of smuchim in the whole entire Torah, but in Mishnah Torah darsh, we find that in Sefer Devarim he did make. And the Gemara asks, b'chol Torah kulo menolan deli darsh. How do we know that in the whole entire Torah he doesn't hold to this concept of making drushas, expositions based on the juxtapositions? The Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, it says in the Torah that a sorceress, one should not let it live, but it doesn't say which type of death she should die in. However, next to that pasuk it says, kol sheichev behema mayisumas. But nemar kol sheichev behema mayisumas, it says that whoever lies with an animal will surely die. So samchu inyan lai, so the pasuk, the Torah is putting the parsha of mechashev leisachai to the pasuk of whoever lies with a behemoth. To tell you, lai ma'amashaych if a behemoth beskila, just like that someone that lies with a behemoth gets skila, gets stoned, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells you that it's learned from a gezeirah shava, that it says taharig over here, and it says over there, mechi harig targeno of maces, someone that tries having people do avodah zarah, tries seducing them into avodah zarah. So too, af mechashev and namim beskila. So we learn out mechashev a sorceress from whoever lies with an animal that it's also with skila. That's what Benazai said. So Rabbi Yehuda responded to him. Because we have the pesukim of sheichev and behema next to the pesukim of skila of mechashev of sorceress, we're going to take the mechashev and give it stoning, which is the most chamadiga mises in the Torah. So he answers, no, it's because we have a mikra mafurish, we have an explicit pasuk that tells us somewhere else that it's beskila. But the fact that they're juxtaposed, that's not a reason to give a sorceress skila. Rather, elo oivi yadayni b'chlal kol mechashim hoi. He says, oivi yadayni were included in the category of mechashim, of those that do witchcraft. And that is, it says in the Torah, loisachaya, which we mentioned before, mechashev loisachaya, you should not let them live. And that includes all mechashvim. So why did we single out oivi yadayni, that they should get skila? As it says in the pasuk over there, be'evin yirgum o'isam d'mehem bam. And that is to make a hekesh to the whole klal, because that's a mid in the Torah, that anything, davash shahoyi b'chlal, anything that was in part of a general rule, which oivi yadayni were part of all mechashvim, all witchcraft, the yotzim in that klal, the lamed, and it goes out of the general to teach a new law, which in this case was to teach the law of skila, it's not coming out to teach for itself. Rather, it's coming out to teach for the whole rule, for the whole general category. As the Gemara explains, so why was it singled out? To compare to them and to tell you that just like is with skila, because it says the main bomb. So too, that's where we know that mechashefa, that a sorceress, all those that practice witchcraft, also get skila. However, we see that Rabbi Yehuda did not agree to the halacha because of the juxtaposition. Rather, he knew it from this specific klal of the brayse of Rabbi Shmuel of a prat that yotzem in a klal. So therefore, we see he doesn't darshan smuchin by the whole Torah kul. Over Mishnah Torah and Nolan Darshan, where do we know that by Mishnah Torah and Sefer Devarim that he does make a drush of smuchin? Titanya Rabbi Leza Oimer, Noisa Adam Anusis of Mefutis of. Rabbi Leza says that a person can marry the woman that his father violated, and he can marry the woman that his father seduced. Anusis Benoy, Mefutis Benoy, and it also can marry the woman that his son violated, and he can marry the woman that his son seduced, because these cases are not really, they're not his wife, although one is forbidden in the son's wife and his father's wife, but because it was seduced or violated, that's not considered the individual's wife. Rabbi Yehuda Eiser Banusas of Mefutas of. Rabbi Yehuda said it's prohibited, it's forbidden for a person to marry his father, the woman that his father violated, or the woman that his father seduced. V'amar Rav Gidla Merav, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Gidla explained what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda, it's not his father's or his son's wife, so why is it forbidden? So he learns that from the pasuk, Dechsiv, Lo Yikach Ish as Eishes of. It says that a person should not take his father's wife, V'lo Yigala Kanaf of, and he shouldn't uncover his father's robe, which is Knaf shira aviv lo yigale, that the robe that his father saw, he should not uncover, which is a euphemism to say that, so to speak, any woman that his father had relations with, he shouldn't marry. And how do we know that that reference is to the woman that his father violated? The Samechle, because the Torah juxtaposes the following pasuk, says that it says in reference to the one that rapes a woman, that the man who laid with her and violated her should give that amount of money to her. So therefore we see that he compares the psukim, and that's how he knows halacha, that it's a person is usher in anusis of in the woman that his father violated, from the juxtaposition of the psukim. So therefore you see that in Mishneh Torah he does make a drasha. So the Gemara says, Amri in, but Mishneh Torah darish, you're correct, that in Mishneh Torah and Sefer Devarim he does make the drashas. But although he makes these drushes of smuchim, and therefore it would seem to be, as Rabbi Shimon Levi said, that the two psukim of Adatan Levanecha and Yemesh Shemat Levanecha Shemakecha B'chayiv, that just like by Har Sinai, a Balkari was also so too by the words of Tar one's also. So why does Rabbi Yehuda again say that the Balkari recites the brachas of Kriyat Shema before and after? That's because although he darshes smuchim, he makes a different drasha. And that is for a different halacha that we know from Rabbi Shimon Levi himself. Tell me, Rishu ben Levi, kalamalamed lebnoi Torah, ma'ala lavakasev ki le'i kibla meharchayev, that he says the following agadatic statement, that whoever teaches his son Torah, the Torah considers it as if he was accepting the Torah from Har Sinai itself. Shenem, as it says in the pasuk, v'idatan lebenecha b'lebnei v'necha, you should make them known the words of Torah to your son and to your children and to your grandchildren, and that's regarding teaching one son. Uksiv Basrei, and what does it say afterwards? You should remember the day that you stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Har Sinai, and therefore we see the comparison between Har Sinai and teaching one son's Torah. So therefore, although Rabbi Yehuda makes drasha of smuchin in Mishneh Torah, he needs it for that drasha, and therefore he doesn't have it available to tell the other drasha of Shmuel Levi to tell you that a Balkari is aser in Divrei Torah. And therefore, we don't see that Rabbi Yehuda should ask her about carrying the return. That's why we find in our Mishnah that he permits the Balkari to say the brachas of Kriyat Shema before and after.